Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I've entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. Now, Part 2 is distinguished from Part 1. Part 1 is where I talked about how important it is to think properly about such issues as the Word of God being infallible, about Jesus being Lord, about God being a good God, and things like this. Now I'm beginning to talk about how you take your experience with the Lord and what the Bible has to say and how that affects your philosophy or your worldview towards homosexuality. First of all, that's the first thing we've been talking about. And these first 2 days of this week, I've basically been trying to establish from Scripture how it's correct for a Christian, specifically a Christian minister, to speak out on these social issues. We need the influence of the Word of God, and we don't need to leave the morality of our nation to ungodly people who don't have a relationship with God. People who are Christians should be speaking out. So I've basically been establishing my right to do that. Today, I'm going to start going through just some scriptures and show you from scriptures what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. And then, as we get through this, it'll probably take me a couple of days to go through the scriptures and what they have to say. And then I'm going to go into statistics and that will confirm this even from a secular point of view. And, you know, let me just say once again that a lot of people get really excited when I do something like this, and they love it because, man, I'm bringing out these facts. I'm even going to use graphs that came from the gay and lesbian, their own newsletter, their own website, to verify and prove some of these things. And people just love this because, man, this is the truth. And I'm doing this because I believe that there are people today who the Word isn't enough for them, and so they need something to attract their attention. And there's so much even physical, natural proof outside of the Word of God against a homosexual lifestyle that I am going to use that. But let me just say that, you know what? My heart is really based on what God has to say. And for me, the Scriptures are more than enough. And so I'm going to go through, first of all, just some scriptures, and then we are going to use these other things. And I know some people get really excited when I bring up the stats, and we're going to have graphs and charts and all of this. But you know, the Scripture is what my faith is based on, not just all these other things. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, I know some of these things are going to be so simple that people think you don't need to say this, but we do need to say it. We need to know this. You need to not only have an opinion, but you need to be able to go back to the Bible and verify your opinion. You know, I'd like to encourage you to make notes on this, or you can write in and you can get all of these scriptures that I'm using. You can get our graphs. You can get all of these things. You can get our DVDs, CDs, and you can go back and have these facts and scriptures to be able to verify what God has to say on this issue of homosexuality. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Now, this is kind of a subtle point here. Some people think, what does that have to do with homosexuality? Well, just the fact that God created mankind, the human race, with male and female, and then He goes on and blessed them and told them to be fruitful and procreate and have children. You know, if God had have created two men, well, then we wouldn't have the human race today. We wouldn't have any of this. God created them male and female. Jesus referred to this in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark when He was quizzed on divorce and remarriage. And He says, from the beginning, God made them male and female. And He wasn't only talking about our two original parents, Adam and Eve, but He was talking about that God created men and women and intended for marriage to be between men and women. Now, that is a scriptural stand. And any person who is going to sit there and embrace alternate lifestyles, homosexuals, lesbian, you are going to have to discount what the Scripture says. There's just no way around it. I honestly do not see how a person can claim to be a Christian and yet promote and advocate homosexuality and lesbianism. It's wrong from Scripture. It's wrong from any standpoint you look at it. Now, if you want to sit there and have compassion towards those who have done it and help them, that's great. I do that same thing. I reach out and I've seen numbers of homosexuals get straight. But for you to endorse it and promote it, you have to take a stand against the Word of God. And I honestly don't understand how Christians can take a stand against the Word of God and still claim to be a Christian. If you're truly born again, if God has come into your life, there is just an instant change to where you love God and you love the things of God. And for you to promote something that is an absolute abomination to God makes me question whether there is true salvation. And I know I'll probably get a lot of hate mail about that. I just am telling you, this is how I feel. I just can't understand it. Now, there may be some things I don't know in the Word, but if somebody was to present me with Scriptures and tell me that thus saith the Lord, this is what it says, and if I could agree with their interpretation of it, well, then for me to just say, well, who cares what the Bible says? This is what I believe. Man, that is just foreign to me. And I can't imagine any person who truly has a relationship with God just throwing the Word of God down and exalting your own opinion or whatever opinion you've been told and raised with. In Genesis chapter 19 is a classic passage of Scripture that shows God's attitude towards homosexuality. The whole chapter is about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God sent two angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they didn't have wings, and they didn't look like angels. They looked like men. Scripture says, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 13, that many of us have entertained angels unaware. Angels don't come with wings and things like that. They look like normal people. And so much so that the men of the city, here it is in Genesis chapter 19 in verse 4, it says, before they laid down, this is talking about Lot and these two angels, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now that's the King James that I'm reading, but the NIV translates it this way, bring them out to us that we may have sex with them. And it's very clear that this is exactly what it's talking about. And of course, Lot was so repulsed by this, he says, no way. And he put his life on the line, and eventually these angels struck all of the men of the city blind. And they were groping around trying to find their way. And then these two angels grabbed Lot and his wife and his two daughters that were at home. They grabbed them by the hand, and they took them out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24, it says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And if you read Genesis chapter 19, I've just taken a small portion of those Scriptures, but there is no way that you can read that and think that God approves of homosexuality. You know, not far from us, there is a church that claims to be Christians, and they are a homosexual group. And I could understand a Christian being a homosexual and having a tendency in that way. I think that homosexuality is a sin like adultery or like pornography or like any other number of things. And I believe that Christians can get into pornography. I believe that Christians can commit adultery. I believe that Christians can commit the sin of homosexuality. But, you know, there is no such thing as some church that is promoting adultery and promoting lying and stealing. Christians do some of these things that are wrong, but to get to where you promote it and have a church built around people who are nothing but adulterers and you want to embrace it and say that God made me to be an adulterer, that is perverse. And people who are homosexuals are committing sin, and they can be forgiven. Praise God for that. I'm not against them. But to start a church to where they actually embrace it and promote it, they have to ignore Scriptures like this. God was not pleased with homosexuality. Sodom and Gomorrah, matter of fact, today we still call homosexuals sodomites based on the fact that all of the people in Sodom were homosexuals. And God destroyed them with fire. And so some people might come back and say, so are you saying that we should just kill all homosexuals? And here you are, you're one of these right wingers and you are promoting hate speech. No, under the new covenant, there is a cure for homosexuality. You know, let me just go back to a couple of scriptures here. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, let me turn over and read this to you. This is Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17. And this is written in a number of different passages of Scripture. But in this passage, it says, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And this exact same thing is recorded over in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, also Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. It says there that if a child is stubborn and rebellious, and if the parent has tried to correct them and yet they will not obey, then the parent is to take them to the elders of the city and say, this my child is stubborn and rebellious. They're a drunkard. And then the men of the city are supposed to stone that child to death. Now, some people, when they see things like this, they just get incensed and think about, that's the way all you religious people are. You just want to kill anybody who disagrees with you or whatever. There was a reason in the Old Testament that you saw this kind of wrath and punishment where homosexuals were put to death. People that committed adultery were put to death. People who cursed their parents were put to death. You can also see that when the children of Israel entered into the promised land, that the Lord told them to kill all the men, the women, and even the children and the animals. And some people think this is just so harsh and it's so barbaric, and they have a hard time reconciling this with the God of the New Testament that operates in mercy and in grace. But here is the way, here is a simple way to combine those two and understand why God did this. It's similar to cancer. You know, cancer is something that is, if you let it go, it'll kill the entire body. And so the treatment that we have today, you can't cure cancer based on what we know. What they do, they go in and they cut it out. They'll actually amputate. That women take breast off. You could cut off an arm. You could cut out these things. They irradiate it. And they do these terrible things that are harsh and severe. But you know why they do it? Trying to stop the cancer because it's terminal. Before Jesus came, there was no cure for being demon-possessed. And the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality is a demonic thing. I guarantee you there are demonic powers involved in homosexuality. And people practice bestiality in Sodom and Gomorrah. I've read archaeological evidence and things about that time, that period, and bestiality was the norm of the day. That's spoken against in the Bible. And people were literally having sex. Women were having sex with animals. Men were having sex with animals. Men were having sex with each other. All of those things opened people up to demonic powers, and under the old covenant, you couldn't be delivered. Jesus hadn't come, hadn't broken the dominion of the devil. And so in a sense, people who gave themselves over to this extent to the devil, to where they were demon-possessed and doing these acts of perversion, were like a cancer upon the human race. And if God hadn't have purged these things out and have been harsh with this rebellion, which I read about the children that curse his father or mother, it says over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says that stubbornness is as iniquity and rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I mean, it's demonic. And prior to the cross of Christ, there wasn't a cure. And so you had to cut out those things. It was harsh on the individuals, just the same as it would be harsh on your hand if you amputated your hand to save the rest of your body. But overall, it was an act of mercy towards the entire body. Well, likewise, it was an act of mercy towards the entire human race to be so harsh against these things, because it was a cancer that would have just literally polluted the entire human race so that there wouldn't have been a human race. There wouldn't have been a virgin left for the Lord Jesus to have been born through if God hadn't have purged out this cancer, this ungodliness. So you see this wrath and punishment. But in the new covenant, there is a cure now for homosexuality. And there's a cure for bestiality, and there's a cure for adultery, and there's a cure for rebellious children. So under the new covenant, we don't kill people for those things because there's always hope that the Lord can change them. That doesn't mean that what they're doing is right. It's still wrong and it's still damaging and it still opens yourself up to demonic powers. But there is an answer for it. So I am not advocating that we kill people the way it happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus didn't kill people during his lifestyle. Now, he did make a whip and go in and drive the people out of the money changers. He stood for what was right, and he didn't always just go around with his hands folded and turn the other cheek. Even though he told us to do that, there is a time for us to stand up. But Jesus wasn't killing people. Matter of fact, he said when his disciples wanted to call fire down out of heaven and kill these people who had come out against him. This is in Luke chapter 9, around verse 52. He says, "You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Jesus didn't come to kill. But does that mean that things are now all right and it's okay to be a homosexual? It's okay to be an adulterer? It's okay to lie and steal? No, there is forgiveness for all of those things, but they aren't right. But anyway, just remember all of that. Factor this back into Genesis 19. We aren't advocating that we kill homosexuals. That's wrong. And anybody who does that, you know, anybody who goes out and kills an abortion doctor or puts a bomb in an abortion clinic, that is not God's heart. There's probably people watching this program who are thinking that because I'm taking a stand against it, that I'm instantly one of those that bombs abortion clinics, that I'm all for killing doctors that do abortion, that I hate homosexuals. And you know what? You are misjudging me. You're prejudiced. You are just flat out standing against all of the facts. I've got people who have committed adultery. I've got people who are friends of mine who have committed homosexuality. And they're still friends of mine. And I still love them. And I've helped them through it. I am not into hurting people. I am not into protesting and bombing abortion clinics. That's the reason that I started a pregnancy center in Colorado Springs. I helped start it. Was because I didn't want to go out and do something negative and just criticize people. I wanted to do something positive. And we have actually seen the abortion rate cut dramatically right here in this area of Colorado Springs. And it affected the entire state of Colorado. The abortion rate has gone down because we started something proactive instead of just being against things. I am not into killing people. I am not trying to encourage people to hate homosexuals, but I am saying that we ought to hate that sin. And you can tell from Genesis 19 God's attitude towards homosexuality. He now has paid for it through Jesus. He is not going to send people to hell just for the sin of homosexuality. It's the sin of rejecting Jesus that sends people to hell. But the sin of homosexuality has been paid for. There is acceptance. There's forgiveness for homosexuals. But I tell you, God is against homosexuality. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." How clear do you have to get? Again, there's people watching this program that I'm sure you just don't let the Word of God influence what you believe. To you, that's not that important. But I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God was around long before you showed up. It's going to be around long after you are gone. And you can like it or dislike it, but this is God's evaluation. Homosexuality is abomination. The word abomination means it's something that God hates. It is a perversion. It's wrong. You have to switch your brain off to operate in homosexuality. It is not logical. It's not normal. There wouldn't be a human race if everybody was a homosexual. This is not the way that God created us to be. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, it says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Again, I'd like to point out what I've already said on today's program, that under the old covenant, there was no cure. So you had to just amputate, kill whoever it was that gave themselves over to such perversion that they would be a homosexual. In the New Testament, we have a cure, and that is faith in Jesus. You can be forgiven of all things from which you could not be forgiven under the old covenant. And that's a quotation, I believe, from Acts chapter 13, one of Paul's messages. And so we have a different cure. You don't kill the patient anymore. You just cure them. But the sickness is still wrong. It's still deadly. You don't indulge it. Homosexuality is wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17 says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." And of course, sodomite is referring back to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, where everybody was homosexuals and God destroyed them. And then in the next verse, it says, "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both of these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." You know, there's some strong things said right here. It's saying that a sodomite, a homosexual, is like a dog. Calls them a dog. That's a derogatory term. Dogs were not spoken of well in Scripture. Today, that little poodle may be your favorite pet, but in the Bible, they, I guess, hadn't been domesticated, or they certainly weren't something that was spoken of highly. A dog was a derogatory term, and it's calling a homosexual a dog. Again, I am not against the individual, but I am against the homosexual act. It is ungodly, and this is what God had to say about it. And I do not make any apologies for having the same opinion as God about homosexuality. It's wrong. God made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And if you are trying to change that and go with Adam and Steve, then you are perverting something, and it's an offense to God. He hates it. It's an abomination. He doesn't hate the individuals. He loved you so much, He died for you, and He's paid for your forgiveness. And you can be forgiven of homosexuality, but God still hates it because He knows how damaging to you it is. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24, it says, "And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Again, it's speaking of homosexuality in a negative sense and liken it unto the sins of the nations that caused those nations to be driven out before the children of Israel. In Romans chapter 1, I'm not going to have time on today's program to go through all of this, but I'll do this on tomorrow's program. And in Romans chapter 1, it starts showing that you have to take progressive steps away from God. In other words, you can't just go from being innocent and pure to being totally corrupt and reprobate in one step. There are steps, and it starts listing some of the steps. And one of the last steps is homosexuality. Homosexuality is right on the line of being nearly too far gone for it to come back. Now, I have seen some people who were homosexuals who get set free of it, and so I believe that you can repent and you can be forgiven. But I tell you what, that is one of the last stages before you just go into total apostasy. And that's what the Scripture has to say in Romans chapter 1. I'll be sharing that for my program tomorrow. But I'm trying to show you from the Word of God what it has to say about homosexuality. It is not an acceptable lifestyle. It is a destructive lifestyle. It is a sin against God. It's a forgivable sin, but I believe it is a sin against God. And you cannot be cleansed of it until you acknowledge it as being wrong. As long as you think that it's normal and it's right, you'll never get free. You need to reject this and accept God's viewpoint. I've got this new teaching entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2 that I'd like to encourage you to get. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you the information about how to get this, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The second teaching in the CD album titled Homosexuality is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP8C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled The Believer's Authority is available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
As you can suspect, I'm sure that we're going to have quite a response to this teaching, and there's going to be people incensed and upset. I'd like to encourage those of you who are receiving to respond positively and not just, you know, there at your set, but let us know about it. We would like to have you call us, write us, and we need people to be partners with us. I can guarantee you there'll be some people who'll be upset and withdraw their finances because I'm speaking out on these things, but those of you who are in agreement, we need you to stand with us so that we can proclaim the truth in love and try and reach out to people who've been deceived and lied to by our secular media. So we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to pray about it and then call and become a partner with us today. Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Mm-hmm. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Join us tomorrow for Gospel Truth as Andrew continues his teaching titled Christian Philosophy.
Here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says that God did this and set an example for those who later would want to be homosexuals.